Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we learn Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our Sabbath rest, our Sabbath peace, and today, especially, our Sabbath feast. By his words and actions in the gospel lesson today, he tried to show the Jewish leaders this, but they would not believe him. By showing that the rules that had been built up by man's traditions about the Sabbath are secondary to the needs of the people, Jesus still could not convince them that, as he said in verses 27 and 28, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now Jesus is defending his disciples harvesting the grain. And by Jesus healing the man with the withered hand, in these ways, this lesson is what Jesus seeks to teach the leaders. Jesus is trying to convince them that the need for food and the need for healing all take precedence over any traditions of man. Now, if we look in the Old Testament lesson, we're reminded that the Jews, being slaves, were slaves under the law in Egypt. And the Lord brought them out from their bondage. The Lord rescued and the Lord redeemed them. And the Lord has done the same thing for us in the Sabbath, in Jesus. Jesus alone. Jesus has redeemed us from that bondage to our sin, and he has set us free, just as he has done for Lauren in her baptism today. We do not perform the ceremonial laws of the old Sabbath any longer because Jesus did what? He fulfilled all the laws of God. All those laws, they are complete in him. Just as the Jews were completely rescued by God out of the land of bondage through Jesus, so also are we. Now, the idea of the Sabbath, the idea of the Sabbath being rest and devotion to hearing God's story, has now been put under the control of Jesus Christ alone. Well, that's because he is our rest. He is our rest. He is the location where we find relief from our toil under sin and its constraints. Now, the Sabbath was meant as a refreshment and a time also of remembering the work of God in redeeming the Jews and taking them out of Egypt. That's redemption. That's what redemption is. Redemption is now true for the world in Jesus. Another way to look at it, Jesus is our Sabbath rescue. And Jesus is our Sabbath rest. We no longer use the Sabbath day of Saturday for worship because it's no longer needed. Worship, by the way, simply didn't move from Saturday to Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day. We talked about that in Bible study this morning. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus has become our Sabbath. Sunday is the day that we remember Jesus is Lord of all. He is Lord of all things, of all days, of all worlds, of all people, of all kingdoms, powers, and principalities. There is nothing that is not under his dominion. Even death has fallen to him and to his power. He is truly and rightly, he is Lord over all, over breath and sky and wind and water and waves and mountains and hills and valleys, time and eternity, fish, plants, animals, light, sun, moon, darkness, stars, planets. He is Lord. The Sabbath is now and forever located in Jesus. And so we gather not on a prescribed day, but on the day when we remember him and his victory over sin, death, and the grave. It is the Lord's day we gather on to celebrate and to remember his victory. Now, in the epistle lesson, we are told this: "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." The Lord's Day is celebrated to remember that we have the light of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. This is what Lauren has had poured on her today. It's what's been poured on each of us in our baptisms. This day is a celebration of what Jesus has done and accomplished and completed. If you think about it for a moment, we actually rest on the Sabbath every single day, because every single day we rest in Jesus. Jesus has become our Sabbath rest and peace and feast by his fulfilling all the law for all people, for all time. We didn't just move Sabbath worship to the first day of the week. That's because Jesus has completed the Sabbath law in the same way that he's completed all law. He didn't do it by abrogation or by simply retracting the law, no. But by the complete and total fulfillment of it on the cross. In his death, his crucifixion, he took the penalty for sin, for all of it. In this way, Jesus shows he is Lord of all things, including the Sabbath, as he said today. In his resurrection, in the light of his victory, we now live and we move and we have our being. Jesus' victory over death is why we gather on Sunday, the first day of the week. We gather not to obey the letter of the Old Testament law. Again, we are free of that law. We gather on what is called in the New Testament and elsewhere in the New Testament and in Revelation, the Lord's Day. It's called that because it's the day of Jesus' victory over the devil, over sin, and over death. I'm going to pause just a moment here. Some of you may or may not have heard that Don Olven has passed away. Don Olven passed away and is now at rest in the Lord's arms. That happened at 5:30 this morning. I'll be meeting with Marion this afternoon. But again, we take comfort from the fact that he has passed into his Father's arms, into the victory of Jesus over sin and death and the devil. Jesus has defeated death. And he's fulfilled the law. He did all of this at the same time. And his triumph was revealed on Easter, on the first day of the week. So, if we're free of the obligations of the law, why do we still teach the law? Well, simply put, it's taught to teach us our need for a Savior, on the one hand. On the other hand, we teach it because God commanded us to remember it. Jesus commanded us to remember it. By remembering the law, we remember that these are things that please God. So we do seek to do those things, but we do them in light of Jesus' victory. We don't do them as a way of earning God's favor. We can't, of course not. God's favor for us has been earned only, strictly, and fully by the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross. Now, in the meaning of the third commandment, Luther teaches us, and read this out loud, please. We should fear Some of you say that like you've said it before. Luther tells us to keep the day that we hear God's word as sacred. For us, that means to set it apart. We set it apart. It's to be different from other days. Again, we're not here trying to appease God and earn favor or build up points with God by coming to church on Sunday. No, we come to be set apart ourselves. We come to be set apart in Christ alone. We don't simply come as a matter of habit. We don't come to impress others. And we don't come to think that God is impressed by how faithful we are. Of course, many people, perhaps most people, they don't come at all. They see no need to set aside time for God and His Word like this guy. When the announcement was made that the Cleveland Browns were moving to Baltimore after 30 years in Cleveland, it's devastated a lot of people. And among them, the many Browns fans that were interviewed, one guy sat in his pickup truck and wept. And he said, "Now me and my family will have no place to go on Sundays." Sadly, this man saw no need to treat his family to the feast on God's word on Sundays. He saw no need to grow in faith or the fear of God. Yet we know that we are made full of faith by the Holy Spirit, not by our weekly habits. The day, Sunday, is set aside and different because it's devoted to the Word of God. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a Sunday. In the Large Catechism, Luther tells us this. He says, whenever God's Word is taught, preached, heard, read, or meditated upon, then the person, day, and work are sanctified. This is not because of the outward work, but because of the Word, which makes saints of us all. Love that quote from Luther. So it's not about the calendar day. It's about honoring a day as the Lord's day, since in truth, all days are His anyway. Like Luther said, what makes it different is treating the day with God's Word. Do we listen to God's Word to be changed, or do we listen so we can notch another day in our belts and impress God or someone else? Again, Luther reminds us that the day is sanctified by the Word of God. He tells us we are to be learning Scripture, to be memorizing it. And so we come here not just to hear, but to learn, to imbibe, to take in, to be folded up in the pages of Holy Scripture, and thereby we are changed. As we read and learn and study and memorize Scripture, we are more and more set free by the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We have this treasure of God's Word, we're told today in the epistle lesson, in jars of clay. That's you and I. We are the clay jars that carry the precious Word from this place to the worlds that we live in, to the people that we meet. We care not that people be impressed with us jars of clay, but we want them to know the pure joy and pleasure of the treasure of Scripture that each one of us carries in us. We have come here, and we have been changed by God's Word. We have been given yet again the Sabbath Word of Jesus. He is our Sabbath, and He is our rest and restoration every single day. We go from here, taking the treasure of Sabbath, the treasure of Jesus, with joy and with gladness to a world that needs His feeding and His healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please rise.